Amen. Well, I'd like to invite you to open up with us today to Mark chapter 6. In the Bibles on the chairs, that's going to be on page 572. All right, and as you're turning there with me, I need you to go back to childhood, right? In childhood, we play a lot of games, like ask a lot of questions, like if you had one superpower, what would it be? Or if you were going to, you know, and we go on and on. So here's the question for you. And I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt and saying pretend this was in childhood. But I know some of you pretty well, and I know you still think about these things, right? So if you could be any animal, what would it be? All right? Now, I know some of you are probably thinking like a lion or a grizzly bear or something like that. I don't know. But think about that with me. As I was thinking, it's like, okay, if I'm going to pose that question, I have to have an answer, right? And it's not something I've thought a lot about recently, but here's my answer. It's probably a little unconventional, but it's my favorite animal at the zoo. Ellie probably knows as I say that what I'm talking about. It's the otters. You ever, like, see the otters at the zoo? They're having a grand old time, right? They are playing. They're never just laying there sleeping. They're going in and out of the water. They're constantly moving. It looks like a life to live, okay? So I'm going to pick the otter. I don't know what you picked, but here's a guess that I have. You probably did not pick a sheep. Did anyone pick a sheep? No. Okay. Sheep are not, like, they're not known as like the smartest animal out there. They're not the most desirable. They're not really top of the list of much, right? Yet, this is the animal that in the Bible we are equated to. Okay? Now, we could be in many ways, like, take that to say, point towards how foolish humans can be in all these ways, right? But when we remember that humans, of all God's creation, are the only ones created in God's image, this isn't a slight. This isn't to point to our foolishness. This is to point to the fact that sheep need the care of the shepherd for their survival, and that God has created us in a way and called us to be his sheep, and he's came to be a shepherd for us. It's pointing towards the care that God provides for his people. This is much, much more about who God is, who Jesus is for us. So let's read together today. We're going to see a big miracle here, okay? This is the only of the miracles that we see here in the that is in all four of the Gospels of these miracles of Jesus. And so let's read. We're going to start here in chapter 6 in verse 30. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they went away in the boat by themselves to a remote place. But many saw them leaving and recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples approached him and said, this place is deserted and it is already late. Send them away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy something to buy themselves something to eat. You give them something to eat, he responded. They said to him, should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he instructed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. He gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Everyone ate and was satisfied. They picked up 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were 5,000 men. Wow, right? Jesus has miraculously here fed 5,000 men, plus Matthew's gospel tells us this is not including the women and children, right? So way more than 5,000 people are fed here from what? Just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that Jesus has miraculously multiplied to feed them. Not to make enough to get by, but that they were satisfied. As we look at this story today, we saw in verse 30, it says the apostles gathered around and reported to him all they had done and taught. So that is kind of catching at the end of some things that we saw a couple weeks ago. So a little bit of recap as we're here in chapter 6. Back in verses 7 through 13, we see where Jesus sends the disciples out for the first time. He sends them out on their own without him to teach and to heal people and to be his taking his power and his message out to people. And then we see that they go out, and then we see that kind of the next thing it takes us to was it was like a flashback, a recounting of this story of how John the Baptist was killed. He was beheaded by Herod. And how all of that happened, okay? And then here in verse 30, it's picking back up and finishing the story of the disciples going out. It says they came back. They reported to him all they had done and taught. And as we look at this, coming off of that, we see the story we have today. And as we consider and we see throughout all of this today, we see Jesus as our shepherd. The first thing we see about Jesus, our shepherd, is that he leads us to rest. He leads us to rest. We see in verses 30 through 32 here, the disciples had come back. They were no doubt exhausted. They had been with people this whole time, probably, you know, traveling around a lot. And all of these reasons, he sees that they need to rest. They need to rest spiritually. They need to spend time just with Jesus. They just need to be still. They need to rest physically. They probably need sleep and just the calmness of not being surrounded by people, right? And so he sees this and he tells them, come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest a while. Notice that his care. They report back what they've done, what they've taught, and his response to them is not about the tasks they've done. It's not about, oh, wow, you know, yeah, that's a pretty good amount of people you taught. That's a pretty, you know, critiquing these things. It is care for them. It is care for their souls. He is hearing back from them. He is seeing their need for rest. He's saying, come, let's go rest. He sees them as sheep needing a shepherd, needing to be led to a place where they can rest. He recognized this need to get away and rest, and it reminds us of another verse that we see of Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The invitation of Jesus, the invitation that all of these men who are his disciples, they're following him because he said, come and follow me. The invitation to come and follow me, follow Jesus, is an invitation also to rest in him. It is not an invitation and an obligation to this drudgery of work and legalism and following rules and all of these things. It is an invitation to a relationship with Jesus, to dwell in his presence, to be with him, and to just rest. In order to call something rest, right, that implies that we're also doing work, okay? It's not saying to do no work, but it is to say, hey, we have to dwell with him. We have to understand that just as Jesus sought to get away and spend time alone with his Father, as Jesus would often get up when it was still dark to go and to pray to the Father, that we need rest. We need time, and the greatest way we rest is not just by sleeping in, although that might be needed sometimes, but the greatest way we rest as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is to just spend time with our Lord, is to dwell with him and put the work aside, put all of the stresses aside, and rest in him. John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. We need rest, and the good news is we're invited to receive rest in Jesus. I don't know what that specifically looks like for each of you, but I believe we all have times where that is more pressing, and we sometimes can see those signs in our body of needing that rest. We can see those signs in our heart, in our mind, of the fatigue of life, and needing to just rest. We saw in the Old Testament, you know, that for the people of Israel, that God gave them the Sabbath, and it was one of the commandments to keep the Sabbath, to honor the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was not for God, the Sabbath was for the people, is a gift to them, a gift to be able to take one day a week and rest. And I think we do well here. We don't, as New Testament Christians, we don't see the Sabbath as law to keep. But to find to take a day of rest in our week is a healthy rhythm that we should pursue, right? Not as legalists, but as those who are saved in Christ, right? And what we see is Jesus himself often did things on the Sabbath that the religious leaders did not like, okay? He did not have this as some rote legalism. He still cared and had compassion for people and ministered to people on those ways. But to come and to rest is so important. It's so paramount for us. And here's what's hard. For some of us, I think this is really, really hard. Sometimes you need to rest even when there's still work to be done. Okay? Even when everything's not finished. Even if today's to-do list does not get completed, tomorrow might need to be a day of rest. And the world will still go on, okay? God is still in control. God is still working. This is not, we're not saying to be slothful or lazy, but we're saying there are plenty of days when all of the stuff won't get done, and we can still rest. We must still rest. Because in resting, the ability to rest when there's still things undone is the ability to be a sheep with a good shepherd. It's the ability to say, hey, I can't do it. I'm not the one in control, but God is, and my hope, my provision is in him. But to live a life of trying to do anything and everything on our own and pressing forward, no matter what the cost, whether it be our health or our family or our friends or whatever else, to be pressing forward to get everything done is of pride in self. We have to rest. Have to rest. The second thing we see here is that Jesus, our shepherd, is easily interrupted. He's easily interrupted. Look with me at verse 33. It says, so he's gotten them in the boat. They're going away to a remote place to rest, but the crowds beat them there. Okay? They're not going like across the Sea of Galilee. They're just kind of going up the shoreline, it seems like, right? And so from land, the crowds believe they know where they're going, and they're right, and they follow, and they get there ahead of them. So when they get off the boat, there are just crowds there. And in my flesh, the frustration would be great. I've been working so hard. I deserve this rest. I want to rest. I understand I need the rest. Jesus is leading me to rest. And now there's thousands of people out here. And this is where this balance, right? We say to rest, but understanding like that in our rest, we can still be easily interrupted. In our work, we can still be easily interrupted because Jesus responds. It says, when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them. The whole story here of feeding the 5,000 is a story of Jesus having compassion on people. And the feeding, the food that they put in their mouths is not the only part of the film feeding them here. We see when he stopped, verse 34, it says, then he began to teach them many things. So he was interrupted to teach them. And because he was teaching them, he had to feed them. Okay? But as we think about this, I think I can safely say, for the most part, there's some exceptions, but we don't love interruptions, right? That's one of the things as a child growing up that we repeat over and over, or that we hear over and over is, we're talking, don't interrupt, right? And we think about that, and if we're in the middle of something, and maybe we're working on a project, and we have some momentum going, and we feel like we're making progress on this, and then someone walks in, or the phone rings, and we just have to take it, and it's interrupted, and we never get back on track, it feels like, right? We don't love interruptions, unless we're doing something that we don't want to be doing in the first place, and then we go looking for interruptions, right? But Jesus, all throughout his ministry, was easily interrupted. And that is different from, I'm not saying he was easily distracted. I'm not saying he was never focused on what he was doing. I'm saying when he was interrupted, he responded with gentleness and love and compassion on those interrupting him. When I say easily interrupted, what that looks like in our lives is that we are available to the people around us. That when someone calls on us with a need or in hurt or whatever is going on, that they know that they're met with compassion and care and love. To be easily interrupted. That can be hard at times, right? That can be, especially when we are very focused on self, right? And what we need to get done and what's going on in our life and the problems that we are facing. But Jesus models tremendous compassion. What was the reason he had compassion? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. There's many passages throughout the Bible that talk about sheep and a shepherd. A few here that I think are important for us to understand this imagery. In the Old Testament, there's a prophet named Ezekiel. And he was, and this verse was written as a condemnation against the leaders of Israel. And here's what he said. He said, they were scattered, talking about the people of Israel, they were scattered for lack of a shepherd. And consequently, it says, they will become food for all the wild animals when they were scattered. They became food for all the wild animals when they were scattered. That's Ezekiel 34:5. That because they lacked a shepherd, their lives were at stake. They were going to become food. A sheep without a shepherd doesn't have a great chance of survival there, right? So that was because of the poor leadership that Ezekiel is condemning here. A contrast of that, we see that David was a strong king because it tells us in Psalm 78, verse 72, that he shepherded them with a pure heart and guided them with his skillful hands. So a contrast here from a poor leader that they were like sheep without a shepherd to David and this strong king that was God's anointed, called a man after God's own heart, and it says he shepherded them with a pure heart. He cared for them. He was leading them, shepherding them. Jesus tells us in John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Don't, as we think about this here, we think about Jesus as the shepherd, ourselves as sheep. We see Jesus' compassion on these people because they were lost. They were sheep without a shepherd. Apart from knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are sheep without a shepherd. One of the things I was reading this week, he talked about a time where he was golfing. And for whatever reason, on the middle of this fairway, on this hole of a golf course, this herd of sheep is in the middle of the hole, right? And he's talking about how these sheep are just, they're running every which direction, right? It makes no sense, you know, the way that they're moving and everything else. And we can look at something like that. We can see how crazy it looks, but apart from knowing Christ, that's what we are. And we can look at people around us, and we can see the things they do, the decisions they make, the way they live their lives, and it can seem like total absurdity, but we must understand they're sheep without a shepherd. And we're only different because of Jesus becoming our shepherd. So in this, because he had compassion on them, he stopped as to feed them, to meet their needs. So the third thing we see is that Jesus, our shepherd, meets all needs, both spiritual and physical. We mentioned a moment ago noticing that he stopped to teach them before feeding them. And because he was stopping to teach them, and it says he didn't just teach them a little, it says he taught them many things. Because of that, it's growing late in the day. They're in the wilderness, far from towns or villages or anything. Because of that, it's growing late, and they're going to need to eat. And the disciples bring to him this real concern, right? It's getting late. We need to feed these people. So let's send them away so that they can get something to eat, is what the disciples say. But as we consider that, right, we consider here, before we get to the big miracle here, we consider Jesus' words in Matthew 4. Verse 4, it says, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus, we never see Jesus just meeting physical needs without teaching, right? Jesus, all throughout this gospel, as we've been studying, we see he's teaching in the synagogue. He's teaching it with great crowds, pressing all against him. He's always teaching and sharing the good news. And at the same time, healing and casting out demons and feeding and caring for the physical needs. The disciples here are worried, right? They're worried how these people will eat. It's a logical concern, right? They're out there, they're far away, there's thousands of people. There's maybe even a logical fear here, right? If these people get hungry, what will they do? You know, we see what can happen in a large crowd at times. But going back to what the disciples just came off of, right? They had just been sent out. We see back earlier in chapter 6, he gave them some instructions before they went out. In verse 8, it says he instructed them to take nothing for the road except a staff. No bread, no traveling bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on an extra shirt. He sent them out in a way that they had to rely on his provision. They had to rely on him to meet their needs. And they came back, and he had. Yet now, the short-sightedness that we can have, right? Of we've seen what God can do. We've seen God's faithfulness over and over and again. And then now they're sitting here like it's getting late. We're way out in the desert. These people need to eat. You better do something about it. We better get them to some food. Jesus says, hey, you feed them. So what do? Immediately, they go to the logical things, right? Okay, how much would this cost? Should we go buy 200? They did the math real quick in their heads. They think it'll cost 200 denarii to get some bread. Denarii was about a day's wage for a typical laborer. So 200 days of wages for these 12 men who've abandoned their jobs to follow Jesus. I don't think they had it among them, all right? They're perplexed here. How is this going to happen? And as we think about that, as we face in our lives a big task or a big, maybe we have a dream of something that we like believe, you know, could happen in our life. And as we think about that, a lot of times there's like two types of people in that, right? There's the dreamer who they see a big vision of something, and they don't even stop at all to consider any of the practicalities, right? They're just going full on ahead with it and, you know, don't consider obstacles or problems or how it's going to happen and all these things. And then there's the practical person, right, who sees something and thinks, oh, yeah, that'd be really cool, but it's like they have the whole list of the obstacles that must be overcome. They have the whole list of the reasons that this will never actually work, right? The disciples kind of went that way, right? They thought, how much would it cost? How is this possible? And Jesus, notice his gentleness with them here, right? He's saying, hey, you feed them. Because he's just empowered these men to go and to heal people. He's empowered them to go and to teach his message to others. They've just come back from this. He says, you feed them. And they're like, I don't know if we can afford it. It's like, you're not getting it, right? But instead of a sharp rebuke, he says, just go and find out what we have. He says, go and see what's out there. His compassion is not just for the crowds, it's for the disciples here. He's still teaching them. They still don't completely understand, but he's teaching them through this. So they go, they find out it's 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. He gives them some instructions. He says, group the people together. Says they group some in what does it say, 50s and 100s. And There could be multiple reasons for that, but most practically, it's probably just so that it's easy to serve them and kind of get them together and see. And then Jesus says a prayer and blesses the bread and breaks it, and then it just keeps being enough, right? And it goes out, and they take it out and feed everyone, and everyone is satisfied. The miracle here has some important connections for us to understand, both going back as we look in the Old Testament and thinking forward as well. We can learn a little bit more about that from John 6, verses 31 through 33. It says, "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So in Exodus, we see Moses was called by God to go and to bring God's people, the Israelites. They've been slaves in Egypt, to bring them out of Egypt. We see God works miraculously to do that, right? He parts the Red Sea and brings them out in ways that are only by the hand of God. And then they're in the wilderness, and they get hungry. And as we see often, as we can relate to in our own lives, they begin to grumble and act as though they've forgotten that God is sovereign and provides greatly for them. But God sends down manna, bread from heaven, falling to feed them, okay? Here we see God's feeding the people here. God is faithful. The verse we just read, John 6:33 says, "For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus came down from heaven to give life to the world. Jesus is the bread. Jesus is our provision. And this whole thing is happening here where we see that through Moses, God provided manna for the people to eat in the wilderness, and through Jesus, we have the one who has come to give life to the world. Jesus was moved with compassion for the people who were like sheep without a shepherd, and Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. What good news that is. Today is the first Sunday of the month, and in our practice here at Hope Valley, each month we on the first Sunday we observe what we call the Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper is where we take a piece of bread and juice as a remembrance of Jesus' body that was broken on the cross, his blood that was shed, that was poured out on the cross. As we think about that, as we see them fed in the wilderness, the Israelites, we see Jesus feeding sheep without a shepherd here. We see Jesus coming as the bread of life. We're remembering that he has been the provision. He has been the penalty for our sins has been paid on the cross all because of him. What a beautiful gift that is. As we think about this, we see the miraculous nature of Jesus feeding these people. We see Jesus, his whole ministry is shaped by his compassion for those he came to save. We think about our lives. If you know Christ, then I believe you probably share, like I do, a burden, a heaviness for those in your life who are like sheep without a shepherd. I pray that you will be marked by compassion for them. That when it's hard, that you'll be able to go out of your way to show compassion. I pray that you will find rest in Jesus. that you'll understand that none of the things you're given in this life are going to be accomplished just by your sheer willpower, but by the grace of Christ. I pray that each day you'll find rest in the reality that Jesus is your shepherd and he meets all of your needs, and that for any who are hurting and broken and lost, that is the good news they need to hear. And if you're hearing this and you're apart from Christ, you have not called on Jesus by his grace alone to forgive you of your sins, then know that that is available to any who call on him. That he will save you. He'll forgive your sins. He'll wipe them away and make you new in him. It's a great privilege that we get to come to him like that. We get to worship him like that. We're going to pray together. After we pray, we'll have a final song. We'll have opportunity for to take in the Lord's Supper. After we pray, we'll read another verse about that and talk a little bit more there. Lord God, we love you and we praise you. Lord, you are the good shepherd. Lord, apart from you, we are wandering with no hope, with no provision, with no way to find our way through this life. Without you, Lord, we are destined for hell, separated from you. But Lord, you came to give us life. You came that we could be known by you, that we could know you. Lord, we praise you for that. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness that you've shown to us. Lord, today as we continue our time of worship, Lord, as we take the Lord's Supper, Lord, I pray that for those who have believed in you and trusted in you as their Lord and Savior, that as they take that, it is a time of remembering who you are, what you've done, and praising you for your great gospel. I pray for anyone here who's not yet received your gospel of grace. Lord, I pray that today they will see their sin and their need of you, the Savior, and that they will call on you by faith, receive your gospel by no works of their own, but all by your grace. Lord, we love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.